Now this morning we're going to turn to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, on chapter 10, reading at verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, on verse number 17. And we'll read down to the end of verse number 31. Mark 10, on verse number 17. And when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "A good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." May the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come to thy word today, and we recognize this is the divine word sent from heaven, thy dwelling place. It is thy word to mankind, and Lord, it clearly shows us our state before thee, the thrice holy God. We're sinners exceedingly, and unless we have the grace and the mercy of the Lord for salvation, we will finish up in a Christless eternity. But we thank thee, O God, that thou hast made a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, and that Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. And today, our Father, we thank thee for every soul that has come already by the way of the cross, and today is rejoicing in the knowledge of God's salvation. Bless thy people, and Lord, help us to bear a good witness to a dying and sinful world. But our Father, we think of those with us today who know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray that thou would speak to them, make the word of God absolutely clear to them, and grant, O God, that rather than like this young man going away after hearing thy word, sad and miserable, Father, we pray they'll go away rejoicing because they met the Lord and were saved by his grace. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us, and speak to us by thy power. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to look at a simple subject, and that is the one thing that will keep you out of heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, at least most people do, and in over 50 years as a Christian, I have only met two people who openly stated they did not want to go to heaven. One was an elderly Russellite woman who didn't believe in heaven, and she told me she would not be going there and no desire to go there. And the other was a young man in my place of employment many, many years ago, and he said that if Christians are going to heaven, I do not want to go there. But apart from those two, most people, they have a desire to go to heaven. And sometimes they may call it by some other name, but eventually they want to go to paradise. Yet the tragic fact is that most people are not going to heaven. And we have the word of the Lord Jesus for that, because he tells us about the broad road that leads to destruction. And he says that many there be which go in thereat. And then he also tells us about the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. And he says of that, that few there be that find it. And so the Lord Jesus told us that by far the great majority of people will never be in heaven, and most of them will be going down to the caverns of the damned. Now today we have before us, and we have read together, a very sad story. The sad story of a young man in the Bible who was so clear and so near to the kingdom of God, and yet ultimately proved to be so far away from it. Now Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry met many, many people, and invariably when people met him, they went away rejoicing after their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the lame, they came, and they were caused to walk again and went away rejoicing. The blind, they came to the Lord, and he gave to them sight so that they could see, and their hearts were filled with joy. The woman came and met the Lord at the well, and he gave to her a water that would cause her never to thirst again. And even little Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree to get a look at the Lord and come down, rejoicing because the Lord came and met with him and saved his never-dying soul. Even the dying thief, in the middle of the throes of death on the cross, had cause to rejoice that he met the Lord at the crucifixion, because the Lord said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." But here is an entirely different story. Here's a young man with so many things going for him, and he met the Lord Jesus Christ, but he went away from that meeting. He went away sad. He went away grieved in his soul. And I believe when he turned his back on Christ, he began the downward path that would lead him to a Christ rejecter's hell. And the reason why that was, because there was one thing lacking in that young man's life. In verse 21, it says, "Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest." And that one thing was the thing that kept him out of heaven. And that one thing is the very same thing that will keep you out of heaven if you know not the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Our task this morning is to find out what was that one thing that the Lord was speaking about. But before we can do that, we have to look at some things that he did have that were ineffective in saving his soul. And then once we've disposed of those, then we will discover, as these things are taken away, you'll discover the one thing that this young man was lacking in, that Jesus said to him, "One thing thou lackest." Now the first thing that he wasn't lacking in, obviously, he did not lack money for a blessing, because the Bible tells us in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, that he was a rich man. He was a young man, and he was also a ruler, so he was in a favored position in the land of Israel and in the city where he lived. So he was a rich young man. Now, in the world today, there are some religions, and they think and they practice something akin to the thing that you can actually buy the blessing of the Lord. You'll find that some people in some religions are very good at giving alms. And you wonder, why would they be so generous? And you begin to realize it's not because they're so concerned about the recipient of their generosity. They're more concerned about building up some equity in the bank of heaven that will accrue to their case and give them interest and eventually bring them salvation. But the Bible tells us clearly in Ephesians 2 and 8 that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord tells us clearly it is the gift of God. And yet how many people, they stumble at that promise. They think that they can somehow pay for a salvation, either by actual money in almsgiving or perhaps in some works that they do that they hope will make them acceptable unto Almighty God. But this young man here, he was well appointed financially. We're told he had great possessions. He was a ruler. He was in a position of authority. And yet Jesus nailed him. And he said to him, young man, one thing thou lackest. So therefore that tells us that the money was not the thing that is the way of getting to heaven. The second thing that he didn't lack, and that was a respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. This young man did right because he came to the right person. He didn't go to the synagogue, although that would have been fine. He didn't go to some place of worship, a temple. He came to the right person and the only person who can save the soul. He came to Jesus Christ. Now, no doubt he'd heard that the Lord Jesus Christ had been ministering in that area. And he sought him out, and he went along to hear him and to find what he would say to him. And then this young man, who was rich and who was a ruler, he went beyond the bound of the custom of his day. And he kneeled down in the dusty road of Israel before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he addressed him with respect, "A good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So he was very respectful of the Lord Jesus. There are many in this world today who have no respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many in the entertainment world who bring great dishonor to the name of our blessed Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But I would venture to say today that you here in our service, you do respect the Lord Jesus Christ, because if that was not the case, you wouldn't be in a Christian church. You're here because you have a healthy respect for the person of the Lord Jesus. You have heard of him. You have heard him preach to you. You have heard him taught in Sunday school. You have a healthy respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this young man, he did respect the Lord, and he called him good master. He respected him. But still Jesus said to him, young man, one thing thou lackest. And the fact that you respect our Savior today, that is good. But it's not enough, because Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. The third thing that he didn't lack was a desire for salvation. This young man had life, physical life. And he was well ordered in that life as a ruler and a rich young man. But there was something missing, because this young man, he wanted something more. He had possessions, he had power, he had status in the community, but there was something eating his heart. He wanted more. And so he came and he cried to Lord Jesus, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You see, no doubt he was aware of the ministry of the Lord Jesus in his area. Because within that area, when the Lord Jesus spoke about the Pharisee in the temple striking his breast and thanking God that he wasn't as other people. And then he also spoke about the publican who just cried to God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And so he'd be aware of that. The very context here in this gospel tells us this is the time when the Lord Jesus took up the children in his arms and he put his hands upon them and he blessed them. And this young man, I can see him thinking in his mind, well, I'm not a Pharisee. I don't belong to that particular religious group. And certainly I'm not a publican. And you can see that from his testimony he bore to the Lord Jesus. I'm not a publican. I'm not a common sinner. And I'm grown. I'm not a little child like the Lord took up in his arms. And so he comes and he says, good master, what shall I do? I'm not a Pharisee, I'm not a publican, I'm not a child. What shall I do? And neither was he a Sadducee because he did believe in eternal life. And he came and he wanted eternal life. But he wasn't backward about it because this was a consuming interest and a consuming passion in his life. Because we're told here, when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running. So the picture is, the Lord Jesus Christ had been ministering there. Now he's moving on to a fresh area of ministry. And this young man sees the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ going away from him. And he sees his hope of salvation and eternal life diminishing. So he runs after him. And then he gets down the dust on his knees before the people. As a man of status. And he cried, good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? He had an urgent desire. And as he saw the Lord Jesus moving away, and perhaps he saw, this is my final, my last opportunity to get an answer to this question and to have my soul saved. But despite that, the Lord Jesus said to him, young man, one thing thou lackest. You've got money. You've respected me by the very name that you've given me. And you've expressed a desire and a burning desire for eternal life. But young man, there's still something missing. Now today in our service, you may be sitting here. And at this moment in time, you're not a believer. You've got life, but you haven't got everlasting life or eternal life. And this is something that's been beating at you, and that has been coming up in your mind every so often. And all the time, you keep putting it back and back and back. And you eventually hope that you'll get to heaven. You do not want to go to hell. You don't want to be judged. You want to get to heaven. And you've got that desire. Well, my friend, that's a good desire. This young man had a very good desire in seeking eternal life, and so that desire in you is very, very good. But Jesus says still, despite the fact that you want eternal life, he says, one thing thou lackest. There's still one thing that will keep you out of heaven. Another thing the young man did not lack, and that was a respectable, righteous life. He wasn't like the public, and he wasn't a notable sinner. In fact, Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? A little test for the man to see if he realized who Jesus was, because there's none good but the Lord. And so a little test to him there. But then Jesus said to him, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. So the Lord asked him about the commandments. But did you notice the commandments the Lord asked him about? It was Numbers 5 to 10. The 10 commandments that we have been showing in our board outside this last 2 or 3 weeks. The 10 commandments, the first 4, have to do with our relationship to God. No other gods but him, no graven images. Not to take his name in vain, to remember his day. They have to do with our relationship to God. But the second table of the law from 5 to 10 has to do with our relationship to those round about us, to our neighbour. And so you find here that the Lord Jesus questioned him on the second table of the law. And he answered the Lord and said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. This young man tried hard, so very hard, to obey those commandments with regard to those round about him. He respected his mother and father. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't kill. He didn't steal. He didn't bear false witness. He didn't covet, as far as he knew. And the Lord Jesus did not say, ah, but son, you forgot this one. You didn't obey that one. The Lord didn't rebuke him. The Lord accepted his testimony. So there was no contradiction of him from the Lord. So here he is, this young man, with a life that as far as his neighbor was concerned, he was flawless. In fact, I would go further. I would say, if it were possible for a man to be saved through the keeping of the law, here he is right here, because the Lord did not contradict him with regard to his statement, all these have I kept from my youth. But then we've got to remember what the Bible says. Because in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, listen to it clearly, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So this young man, good as he was in keeping the law, that he could not be justified by keeping the law. Oh, he couldn't be saved. He couldn't have eternal life by keeping the law. And that's a further given to us in the book of Galatians in chapter 2 and 16. And the Lord could not have made it any clearer when he said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So it's good to keep the law of God, but the law of God will not make you so that you can be saved, because this young man had a righteous, respectable life. But Jesus said, young man, one thing thou lackest. And today, as you come into our church service, I know some of you, don't know you all, but if I was to go along and ask the neighbours around your door, what sort of person is Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so? They may say, oh, very, very good neighbour, quiet, helpful. You look at the number of times crimes have been committed in the city, and neighbours say, oh, they're a fine family, lovely family. And as far as your neighbour is concerned, you could be the very best of neighbours with a respectable and a righteous life. But Jesus still says, one thing thou lackest, there's something missing. You may have money. You might respect the Lord Jesus. You might truly desire salvation. You might have that respectable, righteous life. But Jesus still is saying, one thing thou lackest. There's something else he didn't lack. And that was the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Because when he gave the answer to the Lord's question regarding the second table of the law, in verse 21 it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. So the Lord looked upon this young man. And he looked upon, and with eyes that are omnipotent and omniscient, the Lord Jesus knew this young man, and he knew the qualities, the good qualities that he had, and he saw the great potential in such a life that was be given to the Lord. And so he looked upon him, and with that great heart that expired on the cross, the Lord Jesus loved this young man. And we're happy in the church to be able to say today that Jesus Christ loves the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. That's why the Lord left the splendor and glory of heaven and his Father's house. That's why he come down to this world to be born as a babe in Bethlehem. He come down into this world, and there he lived an impeccable life, and he suffered an atoning death. The Lord Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men. Why? Because he loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. And so we can say on the strength of God's word that Jesus Christ loves sinners. That's why he came and he died. But in the case of this young man here, the fact that the Lord loved him, it was immediately after that that the Lord says, one thing thou lackest, or you get money and you respect me and you want the eternal life and you're a respectable, righteous young man. And I truly love you. But the Lord says, still, one thing thou lackest, there's something missing. There's a missing ingredient, and that missing ingredient kept this young man out of heaven. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was no respecter of persons. He would come to the rich and to the poor. He would come to the young and the old. He would come to the sinful and the self-righteous. And he would tell them that all of them needed the grace of God. And today, from this pulpit, we can say that God loves sinners, that Jesus Christ died for sinners. But still, despite that, Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. Something else he didn't lack, and that was the call of the Lord Jesus. Because it says there in verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And then the call. Come, he says, take up the cross, and follow me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gave this man a unique call. In fact, I would say the Lord Jesus gave this young man a golden opportunity. Because you'll find those words that he speak, this young man, used sparingly in the New Testament. They were used, for example, of Peter and Andrew. As they were plying their fishing trade at the edge of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus passed by and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Those words were also spoken of Matthew in chapter 9 and verse 9 of his book where the Lord passed by. Matthew was a tax gatherer, a publican, who gathered the taxes on behalf of the Roman Empire and thus hated by the people. But the Lord passed by and says, Matthew, follow me. And then the only other one that we have so specifically spoken to was Philip in John chapter 1. We don't know what Philip's occupation was, but Jesus passed by and said, Philip, follow me. And the only other person who got a call like that directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus was the rich young ruler. What a golden opportunity this young man had of being one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're told he went away sorrowing. Instead of responding, he went away. And so he has all these things going for him. He's got money. He has respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a real desire for eternal life. He has a righteous and respectable life. And the Lord Jesus loves him and shows compassion to him, and the Lord actually calls him, come, take up the cross, and follow me. But that young man turned his back because of one thing that he still lacked. He turned his back and he walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, at one moment, he was down on his knees pleading with Christ, good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? But as Jesus spoke to him, he got back up off his knees, on his feet, and turned his back and walked away that begin the steps that lead him down eventually to a Christless eternity. The question comes, what was that one thing he's lacking in? And the question comes to you, if you're not a believer, what is that one thing that will keep you out of heaven? Well, we've got to go back and consider these disciples again to get the answer. Because you have Peter and Andrew at the edge of the Sea of Galilee, plying their trade there as fishermen with their boat and the nets and all the accoutrements of their fishing trade. Jesus passed by and he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." What happens? They immediately left what they were doing and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They left behind them all the accoutrements of the fishing trade and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew was sitting there at a table with the ledgers and the money coming in as a publican and a tax gatherer. And Jesus passes by and he says, "Matthew or Levi, follow me." And Matthew immediately left the table and the books and the money and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't know what Philip was doing, but we do know when Jesus said, "Follow me," he left immediately and he followed. What is the common trait here in these people? They totally surrendered to the claim of Christ on their lives. And that was the thing that was missing in this young man. Had money, respected the Lord, desired eternal life, had a righteous, respectable life, the love of Jesus Christ shown to him, and even the very call of the Lord. But he was not willing to totally surrender to Christ. Now, in the case of Peter and Andrew, the thing that could have held them back from following the Lord was the boat and the nets and the fishes and the trade of fishermen. In the case of Matthew, the thing that could have held him back was different. It was a table and books and money as a tax gatherer. He left that, and whatever it was that Philip was doing, he left it as well, because these men, they gave their all to the Lord. And this young man, his problem was different. It wasn't a boat and a net. It wasn't a table and tax gathering money. It was his own possessions. They were the thing that were taking the position of God. And so when the Lord Jesus came to him, and he said, "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." What was the Lord doing? He tested the young man, first of all, on the second table of the law. And he was flawless with regard to his attitude to his nature, not to his neighbor. But now, the Lord Jesus Christ is tightening the screw in, because now he's testing him on the first table of the law. Because the first table is his relationship unto Almighty God. And so the Lord said, "Come and follow me." But the Bible says he turned his back and he went away sad at that saying, grieved, for he had great possessions. That was the thing that would keep him from totally surrendering. How do we know that total surrender was that one thing? It's very easy, because in verse number 28, Peter said to him, "Lo, we have left all." There's total surrender. "We have left all and followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come." The very thing this young man was looking for, eternal life. You see, Peter and Andrew and Matthew and Philip and other disciples, they totally surrendered to the claim of Christ upon their lives. And that was the one thing that was missing here in this young man's life. The Lord tested him on the second table of the law, and he passed with flying colors. But now he tests him on his relationship to God himself in the first table, and he failed miserably because he turned his back on God and went away sorrowing and full of sadness. I wonder, is there somebody here today, what is your hindrance? It may not be the work and the business that Peter and Andrew had, probably wouldn't be. Your business may not be like that of Matthew, but there's something there in your life. Something there holding you back. And the Lord is saying, one thing thou lackest. And that is, you've got to surrender whatever that hindrance is to the Lord. Because one sin, or one passion, or one possession can bar the door of heaven to your eventual entry into eternal life. So this morning we ask you, be very, very wise, and come like Peter and Andrew and Philip and Matthew and the other disciples, and not walk away from the Lord, but rather totally surrender to him, because Jesus Christ is not interested in having part of your life. Jesus demands all of your life. And that means that every detail of your life is in subjection to the mind and the will of the Lord. He's not happy. The devil's happy to part of your life. Read Bunyan's Holy War, the city of man's soul. Jesus Christ, King Emmanuel, comes in and takes control of it. But the devil, Diabolus, he wants to get back in again. And he's willing to make any agreement with the people in the city. Let me back into some just small place. Of course, he gets in, then he enlarges his kingdom within. But my friend, while the devil is happy to have a part of your life, the Lord Jesus Christ will not accept that. He only will accept all of your life. And so therefore, today, you must surrender all to him. Otherwise, in your ears will ring those four words, one thing thou lackest. And when the time of your demise comes, and you can approach the gates of heaven, you'll hear those words echoing through eternity, one thing thou lackest. And my friend, what an awful tragedy that you would go down into the caverns of the damned, having been so close as this young man was to eternal life, Jesus standing right before him, so close, so near, and yet ultimately so far. My friend, today come and ask the Lord into your life and surrender all and leave all at his footstool, and you'll find he will impart to you the blessing of eternal life. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the instruction of the word of God today. And we pray, our Father, for any in our midst. And we believe, Lord, there are those in the midst today who know not the Lord. And Lord, they have many of the traits shown by this young man, and many of his characteristics are to be found in their lives. Good characteristics. And yet, Lord, there's one thing holding them back. Not the same as Peter and Andrew. Not the same as Matthew. Not the same as Philip. And not even the same as the rich young man, perhaps. But something there holding them back. Lord, we pray, give them grace to surrender all to the Lord Jesus. And we pray at this day they would be born again and would follow him and become a disciple of our blessed Lord. Hear this, our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.